RunDNA has an incredible range of running and walking footwear, apparel and accessories, catering for anyone who is looking for the right shoe and fit. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists right across Adelaide. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. So if it's time for new walkers or runners, you can find RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or the other location, 391 Fullerton Road at Fullerton. Both stores open 7 days a week, plenty of off-street parking. You can find them online as well, rundna.com.au. If you run or walk, then you need to RunDNA. Umpiring in Australian rules football is in the news. We thought we'd take a bit of a different tack on it and chat to the man who is responsible for around about 70 games of football in South Australia every week. He's the boss of the Adelaide Footy League umpires, former umpire himself, 310 games of SNFL football, three grand finals, and 33 AFL games now for 10 years, has been steering the ship for the umpires at the Adelaide Footy League. His name is Colin Rouston. He's been good enough to join us. Colin, welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Hooky, thanks for having me.
I'm doing my maths here. You must have a staff of in excess of 400 who you send out each week to oversee, 70-odd games of footy?
Got some very committed people with our umpiring group, but it's not quite that. Yeah, we've got a list of over 450 registered umpires, and we've got about 30 coaches that are supporting them. I'm the only one that's employed by the Adelaide Footy League to manage it all. I've got the likes of Peter Angel, who is an absolute legend of Adelaide Footy League umpiring, who assists me, and a fella called Ray Roberts, who is super committed to boundary umpiring, and his son Andrew. So I'm surrounded by fantastic people that make this work.
10 years, Colin, and I can recall back, you know, a long time ago, it was probably very, very difficult to find umpires. I don't know if that's still the case for you. I rang you last week about having a chat, and the first thing you asked me is if I wanted to umpire a game. So I guess recruiting is ongoing. But are you proud of what you've been able to create over that decade?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I wanted you back, mate, because you're a good umpire. That was why I asked you that night. Always looking to recruit. And, you know, people ask me, are you short of umpires? And I guess if you look at the appointments we have each week, we've always got gaps that we're trying to fill. But it's because there's so much footy. I think you mentioned 70 games per week. You may have forgotten the women's footy as well. So it's more like 120 games of footy each week.
Wow.
And we've, for the first time this year, we've managed to cover all of those games with field umpires. Obviously, there's a lot of boundary and goal umpires that we can't cover and the clubs have to. But, yeah, when I came along, I couldn't give you the exact numbers, but I would have tripled the numbers in a fairly short space of time, and we've gradually built that up over the years. And where the growth has been in the last 3 or 4 years has been the boundary umpiring ranks. It's been absolutely remarkable. We've got a lot of young kids that have come on board that have enjoyed the experience, and they tell their friends, and we've just built that number, which has been amazing. Just for boundary umpires, we've probably doubled or tripled their numbers in the last 4 or 5 years, which has been huge. So, yeah, it's been a team effort. Obviously, I'm passionate about what I do. I love recruiting umpires because I know how good it can be. But, you know, there's a lot of people to take credit for it. And the Adelaide Footy League, with its stance on on-field violence and umpire abuse, has created a much better culture for umpires to come in and want to stay umpiring. So, yeah, it's been challenging but so rewarding.
As an extension of that, and your point's well made about the Adelaide Footy League and how strong they've been on on-field violence and in particular umpire abuse, has that, I guess, built the morale of the group that you work with?
Oh, absolutely. They feel very supported, and they know that if they take action on the field, that they'll be backed up, you know. And so there's a process in place when someone does report an incident which, you know, needs a suspension. And if we go through the process and realise that the umpire may be overreacted, we can find a way to deal with that without giving a suspension, withdraw it or downgrade it to yellow cards or whatever. But on the whole, if something serious happens and the umpires take action, they know the league want to deal with that.
Cole, how does the relationship between, I guess, when umpiring is in the spotlight at AFL level, does that affect your group? Are you completely immunised from that, or is there a trickle-down effect?
Well, there comes a time every year. I've been involved in umpiring for 35, maybe close to 40 years, and there hasn't been a year where we don't get to about this time of year where there is a criticism of umpires and media speculation about, you know, is the worst it's ever been. And it sells newspapers. It gets people listening to radio or watching TV or these days clicking on a story. So it's journalists' job to make controversy. So it's just part of umpiring. But we have a Zoom meeting these days on a weekly basis on a Monday night for our field umpires. And so we talk about the issues at AFL level and our level. And often the story of the moment in AFL, we'll get some traction and we'll discuss it. And there are things that obviously impact locally that happen at AFL. So, we can talk about some of the stuff that's going on and learn from it. But, yeah, we're also very aware that umpiring is a challenging business at any level. So I'm really strong on our umpires and not to get involved in criticism of AFL umpires on social media or any other media. I tell them, if you're going to be critical of an AFL umpire for anything they've done, karma will come and bite you because you go out and umpire this week and something will happen where you'll cop criticism. So it's part of the nature of umpiring that things come up and you have to deal with it. And yes, umpires don't always get it right. But yeah, I've been around long enough to kind of see what happens in the media and take someone with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, and things move along pretty quickly, don't they? Well, one thing I'm interested in, and I remember it was quite confronting for me when I came back and umpired a couple of games with you a few years ago, that there are quite distinct differences in some of the rules between AFL, which we're all exposed to when we all watch, and the structure of the game at local level. So, last touch out of bounds, how holding the ball is adjudicated, 25 and 50 metre penalties, 6-6-6, and there's a range of rules. How difficult is that to manage? And in particular, expectations of clubs who maybe aren't aware that the rules are different and players that you have to manage, whereas your umpires have got to be across some quite significant differences between the way it's adjudicated at AFL and community level.
So for the first time ever, I've gone out to some clubs at the start of this year in the pre-season period. I started with the Div 1 men's clubs and it was a bit of an educational session, and I did focus on the differences between AFL and Adelaide Footy League umpiring. And yes, of course, you've got the rules that are different. You've highlighted a few of them there and the list keeps growing. And AFL do introduce rules that aren't always relevant to local footy. So, we pick and choose what we will adopt. And to highlight those differences, for the last few years, done a video at the start of the year, an interpretations video, which is available for all the umpires and all the coaches and all the players and spectators, anyone that wants to watch it, and says, at AFL level, you've got 666, you've got stand, you've got, ruck nominations, you've got all these other things that we don't have at local level. So it's important to educate everyone about those rule differences. But something that's really been of interest to me in the last year or two is not just the rule differences, but how is my coaching of local umpires different to the coaching that the AFL umpires get? And I've realised that there's quite significant differences, because at AFL level, they've obviously got the four umpire system, which they need for the pace of the game at that level. They've got the match comms. They've got, the video that looks through every single incident. We don't have all that stuff at local level. So what AFL coaches of umpires tell their umpires with the four umpire system is quite often very different than what I'm telling our umpires. And it's quite interesting. We've got our own objectives to get through a game, keeping it under control, and we don't have the things that AFL matches have. So, yeah, as well as the rule differences, there's actual differences in the way our umpires are coached.
Obviously, AFL four umpire system. Are you two or three umpire system, Cole?
Pretty much for nearly all our games, a two umpire system. Wow. We have introduced a three umpire system into one or two Division One men's games per week. The reason we did that is because at men's Division One level, it is a really good standard, and a two umpire system is very physically challenging. And I think we're probably one of the only umpiring lists in the country these days that still have a time trial that impacts on performance on appointments. And so we have a 3K time trial that pretty measures the fitness and the readiness for umpires to be able to run at Div 1. But we have some good umpires that aren't able to get that fitness requirement, and we want them having the opportunity to still umpire at Div 1. So we do have you know, out of 120 games, we have one or two each week, which is a round by system. But yeah, when we get the finals, everything's back to two. And yeah, that's all we need.
You talked about vision and how the AFL, they've got all of this vision, SNFL as well, but that's increasingly becoming a part of the Adelaide Footy League. Do you use the vision that you can get access to? Because I think every Div 1 game at least is videoed. And I reckon, you know, down through the grades, that's pretty common these days.
Yeah, so all A-grade men's games are videotaped and the Div 1 women's games are taped. So, yes, I think a lot of the umpires who umpire those games love to go home and analyse themselves. I've got four sons, two of them are field umpires, and I know they always go back and watch themselves. And I know many of the other umpires on our list do the same. But because I'm so busy in my job, I don't get much of a chance to analyse it all. I do review one game for half a game each week and do an analysis of each free kick, whether it's correct, warranted, or missed. And we put that on Dartfish. Anyone can look at those reviews each week.
Wow.
So I do manage to look at half a game each week. We do use the footage for our coaching videos that I'll put together for our Zoom meeting each week. So, yes, we definitely make the use of the videos for coaching purposes. But it's when we're talking about AFL and reportable instances, we don't have umpires going looking to report off video. I don't go looking for it either. It's a different process in place.
On that basis, I mean, you're reviewing half a game out of, what did we say, 120 each week. How do you assess the relative strengths and weaknesses of umpires and therefore, I guess, select on merit up and down the grades?
Out of the 30 coaches that we've got working with us, probably half of those are field umpire coaches looking at the games each week, and they feedback reports to me and to the umpires themselves. I get alerted to umpires that are either too high or too low in their appointments and take that feedback into consideration. And we've got a scoring system for our Div 1 umpires that helps them separate at the end of the year. It's pretty hard to separate. We've actually got a pretty strong Div 1 panel. And so separating those umpires that put their heart and soul into it and all umpire pretty well during the year, trying to work out who does the Div 1 grand final as opposed to Div 7 grand final. We don't always get it right, but we've got a system in place that helps.
If there was one thing that you would like to see at AFL level from an umpiring perspective that would be easily transferable to your league, is there anything that you would say, I wish AFL would do more of this because that would be better for the community game?
Oh, it's a good question. It's a good question. Because it's such a different game and different environments, I did like that crackdown on umpire descent a couple of years ago. I know it was really unpopular, but I guess when players and umpires see stuff happen at AFL level, it tends to transfer into our game. So I did like that transition. I've got an answer for you. One area that I think AFL umpires aren't strong enough on, and we're having our own crackdown this year because we think it's an issue, is what we call false bravado. So when a player has been run down in a tackle, holding the ball, and they get the free kick against them, I think it's just, I'm not only, not just me, John Kerr and others in the league, hate it when that tackler comes in and rubs the player who's been tackled out of free kick against them, their head in the ground, they push him. So we've instructed our umpires this year, if it's a really obvious push into head into the ground, just reverse it.
Yep.
And if it's not quite at the point where it needs to be reversed, we hold the play up. We tell the player, don't do that again. Right now, I'm going to hold the play up until all your teammates have been manned up on, and that's a penalty. So just don't do it. And I see it too often at AFL level where that happens, that the player who's run down a tackle and holding the ball, they get some other free kick and they want to get in the face of the player who's had the free kick against them, and it's just crap. You know, it's just false bravado that we're taking action on, and I don't think the AFL umpires are doing that just yet.
False bravado. I love it. How's that been received?
They're getting the message. It was actually interesting that Eddie Maguire came out a couple of weeks ago on whatever show he's on these days, and he talked about a rule to deal with is exactly that. And he used examples of AFL games where it wasn't being dealt with and used examples of other sports, rugby, and I think it might have been gridiron or somewhere from overseas. He saw it as a problem, and I totally agree with what he had to say.
Mm. Colin, just maybe to round things out, as you said, you're always on the lookout, always recruiting, and you don't have to be a 20-something sprinter around a boundary line or someone who's an absolute, expert on football to get into umpiring. And, you can be a bit older and maybe take up goal umpiring. And everyone knows that 6 points for a goal, 1 point for a behind. What would you, the obvious answer is get in contact with Colin Rouston at the Adelaide Footy League, but what would you encourage someone to do as the start point, the first step, if they thought, yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind giving umpiring a bit of a go? Where do they head?
Well, obviously get in touch, because there's a spot for anyone and everyone. Mm. And so if you don't want to take on the challenges of field umpiring straight up or even not at all, boundary and goal give you a chance to get involved without having too much responsibility, but they have an important role, but there's not a lot to learn initially to be able to do the job. So if you like running, obviously boundaries to go. You don't like running, goal umpiring to go. And then the field umpiring, obviously some people really like to be involved in the thick of the action. So we do have plenty that start as boundary or goal and transfer to field. But our list, as I said, there's over 450 on there. We have them as young as 11. So when they're really that young, they're boundary or goal umpires. They normally start as umpiring senior footy as field umpires when they're about 16. But as young as 11, and our oldest umpire is 81. That's Rob Keneally, who's a goal umpire. We've got a couple of field umpires that aren't far off that. The legendary Barry Lewis is in his late 70s. David Bales and a few other names that you may be aware of that have been around forever. And it's just a great involvement. And we do get ex-players that come along and want to get involved. And often you get the comment, "Oh, I wish I'd started this earlier."
Mm. Hey, Colin, is that the Ron Keneally, the same Ron Keneally who's the baseball umpire?
He is indeed.
Mate, he is an absolute man. He is a legend of a guy. He is very well revered and loved in the baseball community, and I think he's probably umpired more baseball games than anyone.
The only thing that frustrates me with Ron is we have a system where you get your appointment either on your phone or your computer, and you have to accept it. We ask them to accept it on Tuesdays, and anyone that hasn't accepted by Wednesday morning, I send out a reminder text message, and Ron is often on my list because he's a bit IT illiterate.
I tell you what, my father, he's pushing 81. He has a little bit of trouble with something as simple as a text message too. So I'm forgiving Ron Keneally. Yeah. Just on that, Cole, and there's a couple that have just sprung to mind here. Do you liaise with other umpire directors or umpire managers of other sports? Is there any correlation between, for example, baseball or cricket? Do you liaise with those guys?
Not really. Bump into occasional, basketball referee or cricket umpire and have a bit of a chat, but we don't really go out of our way to compare notes. Perhaps we should. We share an office, Adelaide Footy League, with the Turf Cricket Association. So, yeah, maybe that's something I need to do.
Women recruiting going well, I believe?
Yeah, so it's something that I think we should have seen a long time ago, especially with the growth in women's footy. I've been waiting for more women to come on board. We are really keen. We've brought on female umpire mentors to help them feel supported. We've gone out and sought new female umpires from schools, in particular St. Aloysius College, who have been fantastic. So while our numbers are still relatively small, I think we've gone from last year a total of 29 female umpires to currently 46. So we're heading in the right direction for sure.
For everyone who turns up and umpires a game officially for the Adelaide Footy League, there's a couple of bucks on the end of it, isn't there? I mean, no one's going to become a billionaire umpiring Adelaide Footy League, but everyone gets a check.
Absolutely, and it's tax-free money too at this level, so it is 100% worth doing for that. You won't get a better hourly rate anywhere. As I said before, I've got four sons. They all umpire, and I can't offer pocket money anywhere near what they get through umpiring, and it's their favourite part of the week when the money comes into their account.
Just to wrap us up, mate, last one. What do you think your group of umpires under your stewardship does really well? And what's the one area where you think I would love this to be our next big step forward?
Well, I think the love of the game is always something umpires have had. And I just know our umpires love footy. They love being involved. They love providing a service. They're passionate. And I think that's always been the case and always will be the case. You don't go out there and umpire and put up with some of the stuff I have to put up with without having that passion. So I just love my job because I'm involved with such good people that love footy just like I do. So really proud of, you know, how committed they are and how they want to do a good job. What can we do better? I think the really challenging part of for field umpires in recent years has been dealing with the issue of dangerous tackles.
Mm-hmm.
We took a stance a few years ago of trying to crack down on it, and the footy community wasn't ready for it. We copped a lot of criticism. We sort of had to back off a little bit. But these days, it's actually the reverse. If we don't take action, we get criticism. And so I would love our group as a whole to be a little bit stricter in dealing with dangerous tackles. And even if we pay a few soft free kicks or whatever, I think the issue of concussion and player safety is so big. I think we need to be a little bit better at times in dealing with some of those tackles that shouldn't be a part of the game.
Colin, you're a wonderful chat, mate. Fantastic conversation. Your passion really stands out, and what you've done with the organisation, I think, is something you can be really proud of. Hey, thanks so much for your time.
Anytime, Hookie. Loved it.
That's a wrap on another episode of Hooked on Sport. Special thanks to our guest, Colin Ralston. And a quick reminder to follow us and leave a review if you enjoy what you hear. Your support helps Hooked on Sport reach even more sports-minded people just like you. I'm Wallace Long, and Ben and I look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.